Welcome everyone to tonight's live stream, which is all around converting uncertainty into understanding. So we decided a few weeks ago that it was really important for us to do what we could to help our community through what's quite a challenging time for all of us, with lots of low points and challenges and some bright spots in there as well. So it was really important for us to do that, which is why both ourselves and also our team of many execs and senior leaders are joining the call tonight to work in with you in many of the group discussions so you get what you need to take out of tonight's discussion.
I was reflecting on this masterclass today and was thinking we're only 3 weeks in, and I somewhat struggle to believe that. I don't think I could have imagined 4 weeks ago where we would be. 4 weeks ago, I actually was speaking to a really good friend of mine who's quite senior in the Defence Forces, and we were talking all things corona. And I remember I joked with him and said, could you ever imagine in Australia that your team would be deployed to keep society in check? And I remember saying, it's actually un-Australian. And today my friend WhatsApped me and said 100 of his team have been deployed to the New South Wales Police Quarantine Compliance Services. And I no longer think it's funny, and I no longer think it's un-Australian. I think it's the right thing to do. But I think for me, that just reflects on the complete change in context that we're dealing with. There's things that are happening that, you know, we and all of us could just not have imagined happening 4 weeks ago. But even on that reflection, I'm actually really proud of how us as Australian organisations have responded to the crisis. We've all witnessed our organisations go straight into business continuity. We've put our skills, our energy, and our mindsets to deal with this emergency. However, 1 month in, I think we're being tested. We're emerging from our business continuity plans, and they're starting to see some cracks. So I'm speaking about not only organisations that I'm working within, but our own. There's some confusion around priorities, decision-making frameworks are being tested, and in some cases, accountabilities are being dropped or blurred. In the past, we had more time to stop, reflect, put bigger investments into our strategic choices, our strategic clarity, and we had the time to evolve things iteratively. Tonight, we want to talk about how we're going to pivot. I know as leaders and as organizations that we can pivot. We can pivot and adjust to the new normal. And I think if we even challenge ourselves, we'll find the opportunity.
So what that means is that we are in this constant cycle on a daily basis of observe, reimagine, decide, pivot, and then repeat again. You know, when I think about each day I get up and I think I know what I'm going to be dealing with and what I'm going to be working through, and sure enough, a couple of hours into that day, new things emerge and I have to make sense and cut through all the noise to work out what the major signals are. And so being in this state of observe, reimagine, decide, pivot, repeat means that we have to operate in a different way. So where we would be able to spend long elements of time really thinking through strategic plans and directions and weighing up options, we don't have that luxury. So now we have to be in this constant perpetual state of clarity, and it requires us to lean on the deposits of the past. So if you're a leader and you've made significant deposits in your perspective and your understanding of your world, chances are, you know, you can dig into that and it's going to help you through this. I think we're seeing leaders that maybe have skimmed on that and are challenged because they haven't put those deposits in, and now they're trying to work through, how do I actually get clarity? So what's happening in terms of the clients that we're working across right now is we're seeing this divide happening. And Brent said the cracks are starting to show, and that's what we're seeing. And I guess that's what we want to help with, because we believe that, you know, the world is full of amazing leaders who all have the ability to adapt. And this is just a different situation, and we have to help find the way through to make that happen. So we're seeing leaders who can swiftly recreate and create context and find their own clarity. And then we're seeing other leaders who are still looking for direction and asking for that. And that's the challenge of the moment. So one of the ways we want to try and help with that is to just go to a model that I think we're all fairly familiar with, and that's the VUCA model. The benefit of the VUCA model is not so much the 4 points that it identifies. It really helps us understand the state of environment that we're in, but it's actually about what you do about it. So we've created this concept of VUCA 2.0. And the idea of VUCA 2.0 is about saying, what do you do about the situation that you're in when you're in a state of uncertainty? And so it's things like when we're in this state of volatility that we're in right now, you have to create a vision. So if you've been in business continuity and you've been focused with your head down, getting all the certainties that you can get a hold on, it's probably time to lift your gaze and say, have I got a vision? Not for the next 3 years, but for right now. And does that vision have the things that are going to be really important captured in it as I come through the other side? And if your people are in a state of ambiguity, the most important thing you can do with them is move them towards outcomes and do that with a sense of pace and agility for right now. So the idea of this concept, and I won't go through each one, but it's really about giving you something that can help you and can help your people saying, okay, these are the four pivots that I need to make around this concept. I need to move people from being lost in volatility to understanding the vision for now. I need to move them from uncertainty into understanding. Getting a sense of that really starts with us. So, you know, I had to do a lot of work to just get my head clear and go, where are we at? And, you know, there's still plenty of things that I'm working through that I'm not clear on yet. But if you put the time in and you make the space, it's the one thing that makes you feel better when everything around you is changing constantly. Where do you feel like you're sitting right now? Are you sitting in, I'm still sitting in the uncertainty, I'm trying to get a handle on certainties, I'm trying to identify the business impact and the people impacts and get some clarity with that? Or do you feel like you're a five and I've done the work, I'm kind of dealing with the things that are coming at me every day and I've got a cycle to kind of work through that and get to a sense of understanding? I think we're sort of all feeling somewhere in the middle. And I think if you're anything like me, there's moments when you're feeling like, okay, I'm sort of cutting through the chase and I'm seeing some things more clearly. And then there's moments where you feel like I take one step forward and then it's a couple of steps back and I kind of need to rethink things. So what's going to be important over the coming months is that we start to get to a point where we are reimagining and moving into this new normal that we're in. So we're moving out of crisis mode and we are starting to build clarity in the context of the new normal before we then pivot again to think about the recovery phase. So I want to just hone down a little bit more into the point on clarity, because the session is about turning uncertainty into understanding. And I want to zone in on that concept of clarity and how we get it, given that many of us are kind of in that middle spot. And I've got a basic checklist of some things for you to think about. And these are things you can just tap into and, again, just check yourself on. And as you go away, have a think and dive and think, am I doing this enough? Am I doing this enough with other people? So I think for me, there's a couple of things here that are really important in the five elements. And the first one is about, you know, I said we're in this state of observe and then work through that cycle. And I think about my own experience as an entrepreneur, and one of the things I had to be really good at in the early days when there was a lot of uncertainty about this business was paying attention to the cues and reading the signals and trusting my instincts. I woke up the other morning and I'd done a few really long days, very early mornings, very late nights, you know, working in with our team and our clients. And I woke up in the morning and my eyes were still a bit sore and tired. And I thought, this is just like startup mode. This is the kind of intensity and energy of what that was like. You know, the thing I'd say we all need to look at is the way we're using our curiosity and observation, paying attention to those cues, looking at them from the market, from your customers, from your people, but being able to continually hold your perspective and hold that as a constant and feed those other things in. The second point, we do a lot of work with leaders in a normal environment about strategic thinking. And I think 10 years ago, we thought strategic thinking was all about mental models and frameworks and what you learnt in Ivy League universities and the way the strategy houses built strategic models. And I think we came to a realization in our own work that may be helpful here, which is really strategy is all about choices and making good choices and having clear intent behind those choices. In any environment, in a normal environment, you're working through information and lots of data and weighing up options in order to make good choices for your business. And this is no different. So this situation, the difference is as the title suggests, it's under rapid fire. So new stuff's coming every day. The data is fast and thick, but you don't have time to get a lot of it. So you need to use your instincts in a different way. We need to trust some of those instincts and work with less information. And the other thing we need to be really good at when we're making choices is the way we think about options. Choices always come with a trade-off, and you need to play out the options and the trade-offs that are associated with everyone. And the last thing I'll talk to you here that I think is really important in this environment, as you check back on this, is the concept of cadence and pace. And I think here, you know, we're all experiencing it. We need to move fast. And that means the way we think about our business and the rhythms and the rituals that we used yesterday don't suit anymore. So we've had to change things in our own organization. We've had to change, and we were slow to adopt some of the things that we've adopted now that we really needed to get onto much more quickly. So things like our meetings, day-long meetings, you know, gone. We need to really think about making decisions rapidly and getting information rapidly and setting up the business to have those things.
It's a time where leadership kind of stratifies into two categories. And if you can revert back to the principles of what you're trying to do and the purpose of what you're trying to do, it's a really good way to ground. And I'm seeing kind of two cohorts, really, I think, in business generally. People who are feeling a little bit at sea with all the uncertainty, and those people who are grounding back to what the ultimate purpose is, and then driving back out with the strategy and clarity of vision from there. And I think if you're fortunate to be in a position where you've unpacked that and you've got a culture built around those principles, then it's a strong place to be.
Certainly high risk right now for two-speed cultures developing companies, organisations where people are embracing it and then people that are finding themselves stuck. So there's definitely a job for us to do to create clarity there.
So, yeah, I've had to really completely change the way that I'm working with my team. And I realised pretty quickly that the once-a-month team meeting, the on-the-road coaching, the one-on-ones, I just knew it wasn't working or wasn't going to work. So we are meeting twice a week as a team using Microsoft Teams. And the benefit of that is that they're very short, snappy meetings. They're very pertinent to what's actually happening or has happened in those last 2 days, because it is changing so quickly, almost on an hourly basis. And I'm having to ask the team to adjust. And they're having to be at the forefront of an understanding exactly what's happening right now, so that they're armed with the right information to give the customers what they need. That also, the benefit of, I'm having less one-on-ones, far less, because I think the team need to be together and they need to see each other and hear each other and support each other. And they all need to be singing from the same hymn sheet and be very, very aligned. So that's why pretty much now I do talk to them one-on-one, you know, on a more informal basis about specific areas of in their territories, but it is pretty much now 2 to 3 times a week, short, snappy meetings on Microsoft Teams, and that's it.
Look, I think our group is probably my reflection on the group conversation is the importance of establishing principles early on, but then also the challenge in terms of the way different people and the pace that different people are taking to switching to this new normal. So one of the things that assisted us very early on is that we established 5 principles that would guide the decision-making and the tough decisions that we had to make at that point of time. And that became, in hindsight, a really important touchstone to all the decisions that we've had to make to date. But I think now that we're starting, there's an inflection point we're reaching where we're going from the crisis management and the transition to an agile model to now thinking longer term and what does this new normal mean? And we're kind of at this point where some people are there and waiting for it and others are still adjusting to what this means. So there's almost, I would say, we had clarity and there still is a degree of clarity, but it's almost redefining now what the next wave is.
Having gone through a phase of some obviously hard, difficult messages, finding a new operating rhythm. I think it's important for the team to feel a bit of stability. Even everyone's working in a remote environment, people are getting used to it now as the new norm for the time being. So I think a little bit of stability, I think, helps. And I think the people that can still immerse themselves into regular project work and engage with the teams can, they'll give them some comfort. But behind the scenes, equally, you know, having to continue to work at the next round of possible phases of what might have to happen next and the planning that needs to be and the thinking that needs to go in that now, because we said things are moving so quickly. I mean, 3 weeks ago, we were supposed to have Vanessa, our national company conference. It was going to be bigger than Ben-Hur, and all of a sudden it seems irrelevant. And it's amazing how quickly things change. And I think another 3 weeks will be in the environment will be potentially even more tested. So now planning behind the scenes, but not necessarily worrying everyone in the teams to look at what's next and really test those scenarios is really important, I think.
I think it came out just in that conversation there, but I think it's worth mentioning that there's some things that we're seeing you're working through with, as you mentioned, the hard choices and the decisions that we're all having to make at the moment, but also having to make them at pace. I'm definitely seeing some leaders default to maybe some types that are maybe a bit more binary in focus. I'm seeing some pace-setting leadership styles that are pushing hard and unrelenting. There's some controlling of decision-making and not wanting to divulge any responsibility, but also some immobilized leadership. But the other thing that we are seeing is what a few of you have mentioned is this move towards the bright spots. So some leaders, some leadership teams and some organizations have managed to turn in themselves and take the step into what is the opportunity. So even though we're in the thick of it and we still need to manage through that and keep our eye on that, the opportunity is for us to really take that step into what this could mean for us and accelerate that ambition that I talked about before. So how do we take that step into opportunity is the real question. And I think if you think about even the most simplest bright spot in the market, one of our consultants told me today that McDonald's is now delivering bread and milk through drive-through. I mean, again, 4 weeks ago, who would have thought that you could pick up your daily bread and milk at McDonald's, but that's what you can do now.
I'm seeing previous competitors become collaborators to share work across the industry to contribute to the overall strength of the industry going forward and also to contribute to good social and community outcomes. So that to me has been a real bright spot.
What we're trying to do and that we see as an opportunity, it's the ability to strengthen our relationships with our partners and our customers. So, you know, just making sure that our customers are safe and that we're providing them what they need. And also internally, we're trying to keep generating opportunities for partners and suppliers to keep working with us, even though our normal way of working with them has stopped. We're all busy trying to think about ways to keep them engaged and to keep giving them projects that are adapted to the circumstances. So we're just really focused on making sure that our relationships are stronger than ever as an outcome of this crisis.
I think the main thing for us is how do we certainly make sure we're connecting with the student experience? So that's certainly something that we're focused from an OD perspective on how we can support the development of our workforce. And, you know, there's been incredible initiatives which have been gained of actually having all of our, you know, content now, which is online. However, now we actually need to support our professional staff to ensure that they're providing an engaging experience for students. So that's certainly something that we're working towards, and we've certainly seen some great outcomes already.
A lot of clients have talked about the unexpected benefit of that kind of connection back into the home and how, you know, it's creating these different types of connections that are permeating into people's home lives, and that is creating accessibility and authenticity and even helping with things like family-friendly approaches and more awareness about people's whole lives. So again, just a simple added benefit.
I think if we recap some of the discussion tonight, we really wanted to open up the discussion around this, how to deal with uncertainty and the rapid fire that we're all facing. And I think that Vanessa positioned an updated version of the VUCA model. So the VUCA model describes the situation that we're in, but it doesn't really give insight into how to deal with that. So you were introduced to sort of ways to overcome various parts of that and working out what's important for you. We then drilled down a little bit more into clarity, saying that clarity is something that is hard to find at the moment. And again, Vanessa positioned with you just five simple techniques and tips that you can just do a quick audit on yourself as a leader or the organization to say, how are we doing against this ability to provide clarity during this really uncertain time? But the last thing we wanted to really open up that last discussion was really about turning our heads and our minds to the opportunity. Now, it's great and it's so amazing to see the ambitions being realized through whether it's a TV channel or competitive collaboration, that we're turning our heads to that opportunity. But as we all know as well, we need to make sure that our operating model is there to support that, so that we don't go back to maybe some of the old ways or some of those default positions that we had before. So I think the opportunity for us as to leaders is to, what are we learning? What can we take forward? What can we hardwire into our organizations from the lessons that we're learning during this time, and really focus on how we take them forward?
So I wanted to finish off just on one thought that I actually learned from one of my team members this week, and it was the concept of the Stockdale paradox. And I was preparing for an interview with one of the biggest business magazines on the, you know, on the recovery effort and how we might think about that. And he said to me, have you explored the Stockdale paradox? And he talked about James Stockdale, who was a previous vice presidential candidate, but most importantly, a prisoner of war for 7 years during the Vietnam War. And the concept is one that I think is really relevant right now. It's about the polarities that we're dealing with on so many different levels right now. And at the moment, we need this polarity between never losing faith that we will see this through and we will prevail in the end, right? At the same time, we have to have this really balanced realism and understand the exact nature of what people are going through right now to be able to help them get through and be real in the way that we're helping them. So, you know, I encourage you to think about that, how you're leading through that kind of dual push-pull and that paradox, and making sure that you're giving your people the reassurances that you absolutely know that faith will prevail for them, but they're going to have to dig deep and you're on the path to do that with them. So I hope you got something out of tonight. I hope there's just one or two things that you can take away. And it's not about big strides or perfection right now. It's just about that one next step forward. So if you leave with anything, what's your one next step forward?